It's good to see everyone here again this afternoon. For a short while this afternoon, the topic that I have been given is our reading will be 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So for a short time this afternoon, we're going to be talking about eternal life. And we're going to begin with verse 11. In the King James Version, the Bible reads, "And this is the record that God hath given us to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." And this is the record. Record is the same word that has been translated witness, or as in the New King James, testimony throughout this context. It says, "This is the testimony that God has given concerning His Son, and the testimony the Christians hold in their hearts." The verse says that God hath given to us eternal life. Hath given is an aorist tense, or a tense that is expressing action, or, and you can tell I kind of had to look this up so that I could get an idea of what exactly it was saying. In the indicative mood, past action without further limitation or implication. So in other words, it can be translated as gave. That's kind of what we're getting to there. It says, "So at some point God gave unto us eternal life." Now, was this when Jesus came in the flesh and made eternal life possible through His life and death? Or was it when the Christian complied with God's conditions of salvation? There are some that believe it was one, and there are some that believe it is the other. And for this afternoon, we can consider both arguments, but the answer is yes. Both are true if you take into account the understanding that we, and this is where I'm going to start sounding kind of like a lawyer, where you speak in legalese, which is legal terms. Both are true if you take into account the understanding that we assume the terms of the contract or covenant have been fulfilled or abided by. In other words, we can say we have guaranteed salvation, and that we all currently have salvation right now, as long as we have fulfilled or in process of fulfilling our obligation by obeying Christ and have followed the steps of salvation and been baptized into Christ and living a faithful life unto Christ. Because as we know, that is an ongoing pursuit until our time on this earth is over. Now, there's some discussion about present, or what they call prospective possession of eternal life. And we know that eternal life is a promise. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." In Mark chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life." Paul also says in Titus verse 1 and 2 that the Christian lives in hope of eternal life. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25, it reads, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." But still, there is a sense in which we can say that we have eternal life. It is the same as saying that we are saved or that we have salvation as a present possession, even though the full realization or fruition of that salvation is yet to come. So, even though we may not be partaking in it as of right now, we can't say that we have it under this context. The 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, Who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now moving over to verse 9 also supports this, where it reads, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Another sense in which we might say we have eternal life is in the quality of the Christian's life. There's an author, Gerald Payton, who actually lived in Lubbock, Texas, strongly, and he was an author, and he was quoted saying that he strongly believed that this was the meaning of John's words, that he is talking about the quality of life rather than the duration of life. He says the word eternal in verse 11 is an adjective modifying life and speaks of a quality of life rather than a duration. The part that says, and this life is in His Son. We have abundant life in Christ. As a matter of fact, John 10 and 10 states that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John says that this life is in His Son. Paul says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. This is in Colossians 3, verse 3 through 4. It is in Christ and through Christ that we really actually live. And you notice that John uses eternal life and life interchangeably. The testimony is about life, real life, that we have in Christ. Moving on to verse 12, it reads, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The alternatives are pretty clear. God has always given us choice. God told Israel, I have set before you life and death. Therefore choose life, for he, the Lord, is thy life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. In the Christian age, we have the same choice. We have the choice of life or death. The wise counsel of John is choose the Son and choose life. The word hath is present tense and indicates the continuous possession of the Son and the life that He gives. What does it mean to have Jesus? Is it to have Him as our Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Friend, Counselor, and to live in a blessed fellowship with Him? One enters into Christ through obedience to the gospel. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, it says, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Also in Galatians chapter 3 and 27, it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we also give evidence of our fellowship with the Lord through continuous faith, love, and obedience. Paul declares that the source of his life and success is not in himself, but because Christ liveth in me, in Galatians 2, verse 20. To have Jesus in a continuing relationship is to have the life. This is the abundant life with all the qualities of eternal life. How long does one have life? As long as he has the Son. The duration of that life depends on having the Son. The possession of eternal life is always contingent on faithfulness to Christ. The Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 3, verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. To be a partaker of Christ is to have Him. but that possession depends on steadfastness. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Commentator Woods makes a searching statement about this phrase. He may have money, fame or fortune, intelligence, education and talent, influence, reputation and honor, but if he has not the Son, he has not the life. In verse 13, we can know that we are saved. It says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Once again, the apostle uses the writing style as past tense without a designated duration or completion in which he puts himself in the place of his readers as they receive the letter. Say, I have written, or I wrote. John identifies his readers as those who continue to believe on the name of Jesus. These are the true believers who are faithful, faithful to the one in whom they believe, that believe on the name. Name stands for everything Jesus is and everything he means. Verse 13 says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. John once again tells these Christians why he is writing. He is writing to give them assurance of eternal life. Know is not to know by experience in this passage. It is to know absolutely. John is writing that they might know positively and without any possibility of doubt that they have eternal life. Vincent says the Greek order is peculiar, so he may know that life ye have eternal. The adjective eternal is added as an afterthought in what he says. So Westcott says, another theologian, that ye have life, yes, eternal life. And then, of course, another one, Stott, says that ye may know means both in word and in tense, not that they may gradually grow in assurance, but that they may possess here and now a present certainty of the life they have received in Christ. When we really believe in Jesus Christ, it's not presumptuous for us to say, I know that I'm saved, when referring to God's promise, because we are not putting trust in ourselves. We are trusting in the Christ for our salvation. Now, as we look eternally at our lives, and we may reflect on our lives, and we know what is in our hearts, we may doubt ourselves, but we do not doubt His promise. The assurance of salvation in the Epistle of John has a basis that is threefold. One, 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, and going through verse 3 of chapter 2, our break with sin and obedience to the commandments. Also, 2, our maturity in agape love. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Number 3, our faith in Christ. The entire epistle of 1 John assures the Christian that they can know that they know the Lord in a saving relationship. Now back to verse 13. It says, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This phrase is not found in the best text. However, it does not damage the text, but merely suggests continued faith in Christ, as some would suggest. One rendered it, that ye may continue to believe on the name. The name of Jesus stands for his person, and therefore all that he is as a person. This is the continuing effort of John's writing on all those who in any age read his word that he was inspired to write. So in summation, in summary, verses 11 through 13, we can take a few things away from this. And of course, this is just skimming the surface of all the different things that we can learn from this portion of Scripture. One is that we have an assurance of salvation because of God's promise. And that we can know that we are saved. Through self-reflection, we may have some work to do, but we know that if we just follow through and continue the righteous path and continue to do God's will and obey, then He will keep His promise. I don't really know while coming up with this lesson, I kind of thought of this. There was a person that I used to work with, and Dad's familiar with this man. His name was Mark. He was a very old, stereotypical, used car salesman, if you can kind of picture what he would look like. Plaid blazer with the leather elbows, kind of pot belly, if you will, kind of had a comb over glasses. He was one of those guys where he would always try and project trust. He would try to convince you to trust him, whether you just met him or whether you knew him for a while. And he would always have so many different sayings. And one of the sayings was, if I tell you the moon is made of cheese, grab your crackers and head on up. And, there's a lot of things that we are unsure about in the world. There's a lot of things that we can't trust. And there's a lot of things that, there's another term, you can take it to the bank. But when it comes to the promise of salvation, for those who trust and obey, you can take that to the bank. Anyway, I hope something that has been said has been beneficial to the congregation. I hope that there's something that we can glean from this short study. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, please come as we stand and sing.